Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And hey, designers, graphic artists, or anyone with a visual knack, you are invited to take part in our Map Your Moves Data Visualization Challenge. We asked our listeners to fill out a form listing everywhere they have lived over the last decade and why they moved. Almost 2,000 of you responded. And now it's up to you artists and graphic designers to make that information beautiful. We're making all that data available to download. We want you to present the data as a map, image, movie, or anything visual. It's up to you. Download the data set and find all the information you need at our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. The deadline for completing your work and submitting it to us is Sunday, August 22nd. Well, in 2004, the Food and Drug Administration banned the one and only ingredient in an over-the-counter supplement that they have ever prohibited from the market, ephedrine alkaloids. Ephedra-based products, usually diet pills, were infamous, even fatal. But that's not the only product that the FDA or independent researchers have found could be dangerous to consumers. Liver damage, heart failure, kidney failure, even skin discoloration have been linked to many supplements on the market today. In a new Consumer Reports investigation out in their September issue, research found that only a third of the 54,000 supplement products on the market had been properly examined for safety. Roughly 12% had been linked to concerns, at least, over product quality. Joining me to talk about the new report is Nancy Metcalf, Senior Program Editor at Consumer Reports. Nancy, welcome to WNYC.
Happy to be with you.
And we will also look at your best supplements list. But first, let's talk about what supplements are and which one you looked at for this study. I mean, it's a wide category, everything from vitamin C to weight loss pills. So what did you include?
We worked with an independent research group called the Natural Medicines Comprehensive Database, and they just do an unbelievable job of monitoring the supplement market and also monitoring every scrap of information out there that's scientifically credible about the safety and effectiveness of supplements. And they put it all in a big, fat database. So we worked with them to identify supplement ingredients that, based on clinical studies, government warnings, and other credible stuff like that, were considered to be unsafe. And then we also looked at how readily available they were in the market, and that's how we came up with our list of 12.
And sure enough, your article is headlined, Dangerous Supplements, What You Don't Know About These 12 Ingredients Could Hurt You. So here's the list, according to Consumer Reports, of the 12. And you'll tell me which of these I'm mispronouncing, because I actually have not heard of all of these, like aconite. You say aconite?
Yes.
Bitter orange, chaparral, colloidal silver, coltsfoot, comfrey, country mallow, germanium, greater celandine, kava, lobelia, and yohimbe. So let's pick what might be the most surprising one to people. Maybe because the most people have heard of it, and that would be comfrey. Tell us why comfrey is on that list.
Comfrey has been linked with liver damage and cancer. Our friends at the Natural Medicine Supplement Database consider it to be likely unsafe. Actually, back in July 2001, the FDA said we have enough concerns about safety that we don't think this should be in any products.
So that's one in particular. You want to pick out another one? Go ahead.
Let's pick out the three that are the top selling.
Sure.
The ones that are in there.
There
are of the list of 100 top selling supplements in the country. Three of them on our list are on that list. Bitter orange, which is an ingredient, it became popular after ephedra was banned because it's basically the same category of chemical, but since it's not ephedra, it's instead of being ephedrine, it's sinephrine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ever been banned, but it has the same kind of effect on your you know, on your system. It speeds up your heart rate, it raises your blood pressure, and it's equally, you know, it's also unsafe. And there have been reports of similar side effects that ephedra had, which are fainting, heart rhythm disorders, heart attacks, and strokes. Another one is kava, which is got a huge number of partisans. It's kind of considered to be something you take to mellow out. And actually, it might actually have some mild anti-anxiety effects. However, it's also been linked to liver damage. Germany, Canada, and Switzerland have banned it from sale. Hmm. And the FDA has issued a warning back in 2002 to stay away from it. And the third one, it's an interesting one. It's Yohimbe, which is actually, in addition to it's a weird thing, because it's, in addition to being a supplement, you can also buy it as a prescription drug.
A prescription
drug. For erectile dysfunction.
Uh-huh.
It's an old one. It long predates Viagra and Cialis and all of those. You can get it as and so people have written in and said, well, wait a second, how is it that it's on the market as a prescription drug and yet you're saying it's unsafe as a supplement? And the answer is because of the difference between how you get a prescription drug or a supplement. Yohimbe has a lot of cardiovascular effects. If you go to a doctor and, you know, say I have erectile dysfunction, if the doctor is even going to consider this drug, which is probably not that likely because it's been supplanted by newer ones, mm-hmm. but if he or she is going to consider the drug, the doctor's going to take your blood pressure, they're going to, you know, ascertain whether you have any heart problems, and if you do, they're not going to prescribe it. If you blunder into a supplement store or buy it online, you don't have any such protection, and as we all know, a lot of people are walking around with undiagnosed high blood pressure and heart disease. And in fact, one of the hidden symptoms of high blood pressure and heart disease is erectile dysfunction. Huh. So maybe people just think they're getting older and having a little trouble, but what it really is high blood pressure or heart disease, and it hasn't been diagnosed yet. So you can see how those factors would combine to make it pretty dangerous to buy it as a supplement.
All right, so those are the top three sellers on the list mm-hmm. of dangerous supplements in the new Consumer Reports magazine. Subhead, what you don't know about these 12 ingredients could hurt you. We can take phone calls. For Consumer Reports Senior Program Editor Nancy Metcalf, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, there is legislation. In 1994, Congress passed the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, which required that manufacturers make sure their product is safe and that it not misrepresent its effects. So how would manufacturers test their products? Is it common to use clinical trials, like for prescription drugs? And if they're complying with this law, then how can you write in a magazine that they're not safe, or are these laws not enforced?
Well, first of all, the 1994 law did not require manufacturers to demonstrate that supplements were safe before they put them on the market. The only supplements that are subject to that are entirely new supplement ingredients, and most of these, the overwhelming majority of supplements that are sold are not new ingredients. These are herbs. These are plants. They've been around for years. And so they're kind of grandfathered in. There's no it's the opposite of prescription drugs. With prescription drugs, if you want to sell one, you have to prove that it's safe and effective and it has a good risk-benefit ratio. If you want to sell a supplement, you don't have to prove either of those things. The burden is on the FDA to prove that the supplement isn't safe before they can take it off the market. And as you already mentioned, in the last 16 years, they've only managed to do that with ephedra. It took them 10 years. I can't even imagine how many lawyer man hours it took.
And on the FDA website, they acknowledge that there's a funding issue, and they hint at the shortcomings of the – I'm sorry, was it 1984 or 94?
94.
This law. In the past 2 years, manufacturers have voluntarily recalled more than 80 bodybuilding supplements – 50 sexual enhancement drugs, and 40 weight loss supplements. According to the FDA, they perform 55 inspections for good practices, and there are 1,500 U.S. supplement manufacturers. So they're overwhelmed.
They really are overwhelmed. It has, you know, the government has its priorities. I will say that in the last couple of years, the leadership of the FDA, the new leadership of the FDA, has been a lot more active. One area that they've been extremely active in is testing supplements to see whether they have hidden prescription drugs. This is a problem that's becoming ubiquitous. In fact, just this morning, the FDA announced that they had found two more cases of this. And it's overwhelmingly applies to three categories of supplements: weight loss supplements, sexual enhancement supplements, and bodybuilding supplements. And the contaminants, the hidden prescription drugs, are generally Viagra or some Viagra-like thing. Meridia, which is a weight loss drug, and the weight loss supplements, and various kinds of illegal steroids in the bodybuilding supplements. And the FDA has been extremely aggressive about testing for these, which is not easy all the time, by the way. And, you know, basically saying to the companies, we expect you to voluntarily recall these products, and the companies have.
Now, I do want to point out that your article does also list 11 supplements to consider and says these popular supplements listed in your article in alphabetical order have been shown to likely be safe for most people and possibly or likely to be effective in appropriate doses for certain conditions. And that list includes calcium, cranberry, fish oil, glucosamine, lactase, lactobacillus, psyllium, pygium, SAME?
SAME, right.
And St. John's wort, and vitamin D, which has been getting a lot of good publicity lately because of recent studies. So it's not just like your anti-vitamin or anti-supplement, but some of the comments that we're getting on our website, on our website and on the phone, and we'll take one of these callers in a minute. For example, on our website, AG writes, FDA has an economic stake in denigrating anything that they don't profit from. Homeopathy cannot be understood through a left-brained mechanistic view of the world. Consumer Reports has no damn business here. So that's one person's take. And let me talk to Robert in Marine Park in Brooklyn. Robert, you're on WNYC.
Good morning. Thank you. I use large amounts of vitamin supplements, also herbal products, amino acids, enzymes, and products. I find them all effective and safe. But I have my own library of books where I research possible side effects. I only take things which I feel are perfectly safe. And, of course, all of this information is available on the Internet. So the information is easy to understand. It's out there. Anything that's misused would be dangerous. And I would say drugs, over-the-counter drugs in drugstores are potentially much more dangerous than any vitamin or herbal supplements, things like antacids, even aspirin. Anything that's abused could be dangerous. But, you know, the information is out there on the safety of the vitamin and herbal supplements. And if you just do a little basic reading, it's perfectly safe.
Have you heard anything specifically stated by our guests that you disagree with?
No, but there's a lot of misconceptions. It's out there even on the evening news reports with Katie Couric and CBS and NBC. They're constantly attacking vitamin supplements and herbal products, implying that they're dangerous. Of course, their sponsors are all drug companies. So it's not your guests so much, but this is to counteract what's out there on the evening news broadcasts.
Robert, thank you. And Nancy, what do you think?
I wanted to pick up on one of the things that he said, which is that, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to research these things on the Internet. The wrong way is to go to a vendor's website, an online supplement retailer or a manufacturer, and believe every word that they say, because they are in the business of selling their supplements. And again, unlike prescription drugs, whose promotional activities are very, very closely watched and regulated by the FDA, there's very little regulation of promotional activities of supplements. About the only thing that they're not allowed to do and get caught on pretty regularly is supplement manufacturers and sellers are not allowed to say, this cures cancer or this will reverse your high blood pressure. That's against the law because that's saying they're a drug. But other than that, they can pretty much say whatever they want to. So there are good places to go. One is go on our website, consumerreportshealth.org, and look up our article. We actually have a consumer version of the Natural Medicines Comprehensive Database there, and it's for subscribers only, so take a look and see what you think. National Institutes of Health's Office of Dietary Supplements has excellent information. And if you want to buy us, I mean, one of the problems we haven't talked about with supplements is buying contaminated supplements. We actually had an example of a gentleman in our article who took a supplement, got very ill from it. The FDA ended up getting a lot of complaints about this supplement, went out and tested it, and it turned out what people were that the ones that they tested had 100 times more of the mineral selenium in them, or 200 times more than was on the label.
Wow.
So the manufacturing quality of a lot of these supplements is not very good.
And then, this becomes more than an issue of FDA oversight, that kind of thing, because aren't many supplement manufacturers actually moving their operations to places like China so the FDA can't inspect?
Right. The FDA, that is a very worrisome trend. The FDA has just recently set up an office in China. They haven't inspected anything yet. And as you already mentioned, just getting through the 1,500 estimated manufacturers in the United States is going to take years. They only started a year or so ago. But I wanted to mention one more way that you can become more confident of supplements you buy, which is to look for something called the USP verified label. That's the U.S. Pharmacopoeia. It's an independent, nonprofit kind of underwriter's laboratory for supplements. And if that manufacturers can voluntarily submit their products for verification that they're properly labeled and have the right ingredients in them that are as labeled. If you buy a USP verified supplement, that's a huge sign that it is what it says it is.
Let me take one more call. Elizabeth in Brooklyn has a question about homeopathic forms of supplements. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Yes, my question is, have you considered these supplements at homeopathic remedy doses, and would you say they're counterindicated, or is that something that you can't deal with at this point?
Those would be small doses of the same things on your dangerous list, is what she's asking.
Right, right. We're not talking about homeopathic doses here. I sort of hesitate to get into that because I know that a lot of people really swear by these products. We don't really have much to say about them because they're basically water. We don't see how water is dangerous. The only caution that I would state about homeopathic supplements is to be sure that that's what they actually are, because you know we have found some cases not with this article but in previous reporting we've done where there could be two products, one is homeopathic and one isn't, and it's kind of hard to tell the difference from the packaging. So that's the only caution I would give on that. Whether or not we believe in homeopathy, not going to go there.
And we could go on all day taking callers who question putting one or another thing on your list of potentially dangerous supplements. One uses kava all the time, another is interested in colloidal silver's positive effects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I guess ultimately, in addition to reading your article, you would agree with Bob from Marine Park who says get online and do some homework before you take anything, right?
Well, and also, and first of all, I think we would say for the 12 supplements, just don't take them. We just don't think they're safe. And I know that colloidal silver has a lot of fans, but it can turn you gray, and you don't know ahead of time whether you're going to be one of the gray people or not.
Gray? You mean your hair?
Your skin.
Uh-huh.
For life. Yeah. I mean, and you'll see people saying, I've been taking it for years, and I didn't turn gray, but we interviewed a lady who took it for a couple years, and she did turn gray. So, you know, you just can't tell. And secondly, whatever you're taking, whether it's on our list of beneficial supplements, not on any list, tell your doctor that you're taking it. Because a lot of these, especially the beneficial ones, can interact with prescription drugs or can be not indicated for people with certain medical conditions. Don't try to self-medicate with these because you could get in terrible trouble.
Nancy Metcalf, Senior Program Editor for Consumer Reports. The new article in the September issue, Dangerous Supplements, What You Don't Know About These 12 Ingredients Could Hurt You. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will celebrate this date, 8, 9, 10, in a minute. We will take your calls with any calendar numerology in your life. Anybody having a cesarean today so your baby can forever write down 8, 9, 10 as their birth date, or any calendar numerology in your life, call us up right now. We'll do this for the last 5 minutes of the show. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.